You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, with my favorite, advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder. Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hey, good afternoon. Great to be here as usual.
Mm-hmm. Great to have you. How you doing?
Doing good. I just finished the ski season in one piece, so I'm always happy about that.
Yeah, that's very important. I feel like we do this radio show just to talk about your
Yeah,
vacation.
I know. It's kind of boring, you know, skiing, you know, for yeah. my
Though I did, you did send me some pictures. And I don't know. Mrs. Emder's, she's kind of rocking it out there. I think she's showing you up.
Yeah, well, actually what she does is she prevents me from killing myself, you know, because I'm ready to go off like some double black, some
You
run.
Do the double black still, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and she like says, you know what, yeah, it's last run of the season of the day, you know, why don't we just do like a blue, so... Under protest, I follow her down the less aggressive slopes, but I'm here today to talk to you. So
yeah, it's safer that way. I would be looking for the pink like circle. Is that even a
that doesn't exist?
Okay, well that's what I would be looking for that for a while then.
Well, I'm always happy to get through the ski season. I met one of my son's buddies, and as you remember, my son got hurt this year.
Yeah,
and he's coming out of his cervical brace. He had a cervical fracture, C6.
Yeah. So did he miss like the rest of the season?
Yeah, he totally missed the season.
Oh.
So I think I got in more ski days than he did.
Well, yeah.
But I had lunch with his best friend from medical school, and he told me that he was skiing in Tahoe and he broke his thumb and he had a pneumothorax, which is a collapsed lung. So, you know, I'm always thankful to get through with my bad knee.
And your back.
Your
carpal tunnel. You just,
Kind
of like you're a walking miracle.
Yeah, that's right. So it's, it was good. So tell me about yourself. You're like, well, what the
second
trimester of your.
Yeah, I am now, I'm 26 weeks. So this Tuesday I'll be 27 weeks, which is pretty good. I mean, if you think about it, this has gone by pretty quick. And again, I throw it out there to God. I'm super blessed that I have not, you know, been extremely sick or whatever. However,
you were telling me you're sleep deprived because
I'm sleep deprived.
Puppy is acting up.
Yeah, but it's like my dogs. I don't know what's wrong with them. They've all of a sudden decided they're not going to sleep. So, and I think it's because, you know, we've had some guests over who bring their dogs and they've just gotten all ramped up and they've totally gotten off their cycle of what to do. So, but that's kind of affecting me, which then in turn affects me not going to the gym.
Okay.
Which it's like a domino effect. So I'm just kind of, I don't even know what my name is at the moment.
All righty. Well, I mean, you still look spectacular.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind. But you know what? I was going to ask you a question. So I know that you're not like the whole OBGYN thing, but I've been, and actually, you know what? I should maybe save this because our guest would know this question. But in going to the gym and being more active, I'm like trying to be, you know, on the treadmill or whatnot. I'm getting just more, it's like painful to go. So should I be like stopping or...
Oh, that's
or
a
like,
good question.
Do you just keep going. You know, like the whole, it's starting to like weigh on me. And people are giving me a hard time for carrying things. Like I carry like water bottles around, you know, not like a single water bottle, but like maybe a little case of water, which is not bad. But people are kind of like, you shouldn't be doing that. You should, you know, you're pregnant. You should, but aren't you supposed to be like active and going to the gym and trying to do that to ease labor? You have any idea?
At this point, I would be guessing.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I would think about, you know,
more, still ask my doctor.
You know, if my grandmother was here, may she rest in peace, she would probably say, you know, it's better to be more active, but not to overdo it.
Right.
And if you're feeling tired, your body's probably saying something that exercise is good, but maybe you should be backing off a little bit as you get further along in your pregnancy.
Right.
Does that sound like good
advice?
Yeah. So I wouldn't be
like
doing.
Like I probably could have found that on Google, but
yeah.
You know,
so if you're like doing 20 reps or something, you know, you may want to be down to 5 or something. I think that would make sense.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. But trying to stay active is
that's always good.
My main goal.
Yeah.
Now that I'm chasing my puppies around.
But you also just tweeted me a picture. You looked very stylish on a boat somewhere last weekend. Well, what was that about?
Oh, really? Yeah. I was a guest of actually one of the doctors that we've had on this show, Dr. Gazzetta, who is a vascular surgeon over at Grossmont. It was their like the yacht club had their opening day. I felt very,
very
sophisticated.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, like I don't know much about yachts except I like that one. And it was like, well, that's $300,000. Okay, well, I still like that one. Let's get it, you know,
San Diego Yacht Club or?
Yeah, out of Point Loma.
Okay.
So it was very
nautical.
It was very nautical.
Did you actually take the boat out or just sit there?
No, we just, because of it was opening day, you got to kind of experience all the boats that were out there. So you just walked around the dock and you could walk on a boat if they had it open and, you know, you could tour all the different boats that were out there and they had
some
food.
Cool.
And, yeah. And drinks. I was, you know, Virgin Bloody Marys and stuff.
Okay.
For the day. But yeah, it was very fun. Look
yeah, it's different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was there once years ago, again, as a guest, and they have the Commodores, the previous, instead of being presidents of the yacht club, they're called the Commodores.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Commodore.
There were just a lot of blue jackets.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was the look. However, I did see a couple people that were wearing the same fabric that I have selected for the baby's room,
okay.
The curtains, because we're doing the nautical theme, and I saw the fabric walking around. It was actually kind of interesting. I won't say what I was thinking, but you know, it's
okay. Well, yeah, you looked spiffy in the picture.
Thank you.
It looked like you were having fun.
We did. We had a good time.
But let's talk a little medical.
That's probably important.
Yeah. So this is this week's UT Health. They were reviewing some research done at UCSD by Dr. Cedric Garland, a professor at the medical school there and the Department of Family Medicine and Preventive Medicine. And he recently reported on the breast cancer and vitamin D.
Oh, really?
And what they're finding in his research is that there's increased rates of survival on patients that have higher vitamin D levels.
And vitamin D we get from the sun.
Right.
So being outside.
Which is great, except, when we're outside, we're not, you know, we're all covered up. Or, you know, I have on my 15 skin black and I'm wearing a hat. So the Americans in general, we don't get enough vitamin D from the sun.
Well, then but there are so many people that have skin cancer.
Yeah. So there's kind of the trade-off is, how do we get our vitamin D? So basically you have to be outside for about 20 minutes, pretty much in your shorts, to get about 10,000 units of vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you could supplement taking some vitamin D. And what they found is that probably supplementing with 1 to 2,000 units of vitamin D a day will bring your levels up into a healthy range.
Or you could just play golf.
Again, you're probably with your hats. you're not absorbing enough sunlight through your nose to produce the vitamin D.
Yeah, but it's more fun.
Yeah, it's definitely more fun.
Taking vitamins.
But I think the key for our audience is, you know, you should really go out and have your primary care doctor measure your vitamin D level. And
how do they do that?
It's just a simple blood test. I would suspect 80% of our audience is probably vitamin D deficient with levels less than, 20. I think it's nanograms. And you want to be in the 40 to 60 range.
Are there foods that contain vitamin D as well that we can incorporate in our diet?
Yeah, actually, I think sardines and the fish I love.
Delicious.
Yeah, yeah, which we generally don't eat.
I know, something I'm going to jump right all over
the counter. 1 to 2,000 units of vitamin D a day will do it. It's pretty hard to overdose on vitamin D, as long as you stay less than 5,000 units. Though I was taking 2,000 units of vitamin D a day, and I checked my level, and it was actually high. It was 80-90 range. So I'm back down to 1,000 units of vitamin D.
Okay, so too much isn't good.
Too much is not good. But if you stay below 5,000 units a day, you're not going to get in trouble. And 1 to 2,000 units would be great. And they've done studies looking at cancer in general. Mm-hmm. And the further you get away from the equator, the higher the incidence of all forms of cancer.
No kidding.
Yeah. Even if you look at incidence of diabetes, it gets higher the further you get away from the equator.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'll have to ask my husband. Being from Australia, they're kind of like, aren't they? They're like really close to.
Yeah. Interestingly, one time I was to Australia is they have a big skin cancer prevention program. You know, you see kids wearing these wide brim hats and
everybody's
wearing sunblock.
Sunscreen, and they have like their, the kids all wear the rash shirts, which are like the thin shirts when you go swimming.
And they have all these screening centers for skin cancer because there is increased incidence, again, because they're closer to the equator.
Right.
So there's a trade-off. You know, the sun, you know, it has many advantages. Cancer prevention, like we talked about, but there's a trade-off with your skin. So you got to protect your skin when you're near the equator, for sure.
All right.
So that's the vitamin D shtick for today. I love vitamin D. It probably does a lot of other things. You know, probably. Yeah, they've seen
it's probably good for you in many ways.
Patients seem to have lower blood pressures on vitamin D. There's studies showing it helps prevent influenza. People that had supplements. So there's good reasons to make sure your vitamin D level is in a good therapeutic range.
So go get tested.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the key. Yeah. So we have a great show today.
Yeah. So who do we have here today?
We have Dr. Ken Roth, who I'm so excited about because we're going to be talking about, you know, fitness, exercise, like everything that kind of plays into healthy aging. But at the same time, it's not coming from somebody that doesn't live it. Like he's totally like out there athletic, running.
Well, I'm
jumping.
Looking at him. He's sitting across from me.
I know. I'm just really excited about it.
He looks spectacular. I mean, he looks as good as when I met him 20 years ago.
I know. Not that I knew him 20 years ago, but yes. So I'm super excited about it. So audience out there, stay right with us. We will be back in just a second to give you the rundown on everything that is health and exercise.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today, Dr. Emder. I'll hand it over to you so you can introduce him.
Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce Dr. Ken Roth, who actually went into practice about the time when I did in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
He's,
I have a comment, but I won't.
Which means we're old.
Yes. Did his undergrad at the State University of New York at Binghamton, New York, and then went to medical school at the State University of New York at the Buffalo. Did an internship there for 1 year, and then he saw the light and came out to finish his training at UCSD and graduated in 1986. He is in private practice is a founder of San Diego Internal Medicine Associates, the San Diego Hospitalist Association. He's a former chief of staff at Sharp Memorial, president of Sharp Community Medical Group, and a board member of Sharp Healthcare for at least 13 years, and currently a president of the Sharp Foundation, which oversees many of the Sharp hospitals. So, Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Larry. Good to see you again.
Yeah, and it's great to see someone who looks as good as they did when I met him 20 years ago.
So. You haven't changed that much either, so we've both been going down the same road.
Skiing.
Yeah, so I think a part of the answer for that success is exercise. I mean, that's a huge part of my daily routine. So my first question to you is, how important is exercise in your own personal life? And then the second part would be in your practice.
Yeah. Well, you know, exercise isn't just something that I do. I mean, for me, it's who I am. I mean, I at a very early age embraced the concept that exercise was very, very important for healthy long-term outcomes. I have a strong family history of heart disease personally. And I knew when I was in medical school that unless I made some lifestyle changes, embraced some lifestyle changes, that were meaningful, I was probably going to have premature heart disease myself. So somewhere back before medical school, even, I started exercising regularly. And you know the addictive nature of exercise. The more you do, the more you want to do. And going through medical school, I learned all the benefits, many of the benefits of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, particularly a daily exercise routine in terms of health prevention, health maintenance.
So I heard a recent lecture by Dr. Triffin, who's a cardiologist at Scripps Clinic. And he says you really have to exercise like 4 hours a week to get a full cardiovascular benefit. Could you comment on that?
Well, the American Heart Association recommends, defines fitness as getting your heart rate up to 80 to 85% of your maximum heart rate 4 to 5 days a week for 40 minutes a day. So that's the definition of fitness. Your maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age, that times 85%. So for a 50-year-old man, 170 would be the max, 85% of that would be about 150, 155. So if you use a heart monitor, getting your heart rate up to the 150, 155 range, 40 minutes a day, 4 days a week, that would define being fit.
Cool. Would that be running? Like, what do you think would get somebody to that point?
It's using both lower extremity and upper extremity muscles in a sustained fashion to get your heart rate up. So, yeah, running, swimming, biking, and they all have different rates of calorie burn.
So what's your exercise of choice?
Oh, I've been a runner from way back when. So many, many years ago, I started running, and I became obsessed with running. I didn't want to miss a day of running. As a matter of fact, this being the anniversary of the Boston Marathon, my goal way back when was to first do a 10K, but eventually to do a marathon. So I worked for many years to get my first marathon done and then to eventually get into qualifying for Boston Marathon, and ran 4 Boston Marathons.
Wow.
Very nice.
So that was my goal way back when. But the question is, you know, Kendra, you're pregnant. Uh-huh. What do you do the day after you deliver? What do you do the day after your Boston Marathon? You have to continue to maintain the lifestyle. For you, it's the beginning of the rest of your life having a baby.
Right.
For many runners, the day you get to that goal of having completed your marathon, running and exercise has to be a lifestyle change. So it can't end with achieving your goal. Your goal is endless. So being in shape for as long as you possibly can be is my goal.
Yikes. And, okay, we have to make note that Dr. Roth has, do you hold a record? Like, you're ranked for runners in the world, aren't you?
There's the U.S. Road Streakers Association, which keeps tracks of...
Did you say streakers?
Streakers. It's a different kind of streaker,
okay,
Kendra. I was a child in the 70s,
checking.
But I'm not that kind of a streaker. No, it's a running streak is what it is.
So
people who've run consecutive days, and my streak was I had run 10 miles every single day, and I didn't miss a day for 24 years.
Oh,
are you serious?
Gosh.
Yeah, that was my
Let's talk about
streak.
Time commitment. How do you,
you're
a member of all these boards and you have a...
You find yourself waking up earlier and earlier in the morning to get it done. I tend to be a morning person, so I'm out the door in the morning. But look around, you know, coming here today, plenty of people out running, exercising, biking. A lot of people get their exercise done early.
Okay.
I think of it as teeing up your day. After you've done your exercise, I think you have more energy, you're mm-hmm. more focused, you're more in the zone. Perfect way to start your day is with vigorous exercise in the morning.
So how do you keep your knees in shape to be running all these years? Because, I mean, there is a wear and tear that goes on.
Well, you talked about trade-offs earlier. Obviously, you have to, concern about the orthopedic side.
Sure.
120,000 miles of running got the better of my knees. So I just had a partial knee replacement 8 months ago.
Okay.
And I find, and as many of my friends who are almost my age or my age, close to turning 60, we have to find ways to continue to exercise,
right,
continue to stay healthy, despite the fact that we can't run anymore. Mm-hmm. So you see people out there doing other things
like spinning,
ellipticals, elliptigos, swimming,
nice.
You go to the gym.
Or like you guys decide to go skiing on your bad knees. But
well,
you
skiing,
know,
you
okay.
can burn some calories. Absolutely. You felt like you got a good calorie burn skiing, didn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I was exhausted, actually, each day after skiing. But I'm skiing at like 10,000 feet. And, there's energy output just to be able to perform at that level.
I'd be curious to check your pulse when you were out there skiing. See if you were getting your pulse rate up in the 120, 130 range.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. It's very hard to burn as many calories doing other things than running. Running is the one exercise where you're using both arms and legs to propel your body. So there's almost no other exercise can burn as many calories or get your heart rate up as easily as running.
But is it as good on your joints and your bones? Like, I've heard that running is just not good for you.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. You put 3 times your body weight on your knees every time you pound, every time you come down.
Okay.
So maintaining your body weight is also kind of key to successfully running longer.
And some of my friends have stopped running on asphalt. They tend to run trails, or, run at the beach, less impact. Do you find that to be helpful?
Certainly, yeah. And running technology, getting the right shoes, being on the right surface. Absolutely. A lot of the shoes can take some of the sting out of running. If your shoes are too old or too stiff, you can do a lot more damage to your knees.
Okay. So a new technology out there, which I heard about, I don't really know anything personally, but are recovery clothes. Like after you run a 10K, there's like this suit you wear so your body can recover quicker. Do you know anything about that? Seriously?
I have not heard of that. Really?
Yeah, they even have when I was skiing, they have a suit that you wear for your knee for recovery after any exercise.
No kidding.
Yeah, stay close to me. I'll keep you up to date.
No joke.
You're young, but you're behind the. You're behind already.
You know more about fashion than I do.
I haven't heard about that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, retaining your body heat after you're done exercising is kind of key, because one of the main things that happens when you stop running, your body continues to sweat, you continue to lose water and salt. Very easy to drop your blood pressure after a long run. So one of the things, when I used to do Boston Marathon, they put Mylar around you.
Right, yeah.
Remember that?
Okay.
So it was to kind of keep your body heat in. Unfortunately, it used to end at the Pru, and they used to take you to an underground garage where the temperature, ambient temperature, was about 10 degrees lower than what the outside temperature was. So you want to keep your body warm right after you're done exercising.
So I think I have some of this on my phone. I'll look it up during the break. But that's new technology. State of the art that's coming down the pike, available for your everyday runner.
But I mean, going back to that, is it just to keep you warm, like Dr. Rath was saying, or is this to like stay moisturized?
I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
It's
how strange.
Yeah, interesting.
But there are a lot of technologies that are coming out, and I think we did have a doctor on not too long ago, who was discussing, insoles for your shoes as well, and saying that could, because I've got knee problems, and I'm still young, but it kind of inhibits my ability to run past a mile. So he was saying those are good ideas too. So.
You got to listen to your body, Kendra.
Yeah. Well, no joke. And now that I've gained an extra 30 pounds, it's my body plus another body.
I think you asked earlier about what you should do when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your opinion on that.
So basically, you don't do anything that you're pregnant that you haven't done before you're pregnant.
Right, right.
The pulling and stretching of all the ligaments that takes place as your body changes is probably what you're feeling. And a lot of that is pretty normal and natural.
Right.
So differentiating discomforts that are warning signs that something's wrong versus the normal growing pains of pregnancy is something you have to kind of learn to live with. It's very important to stay active through your pregnancy.
Okay, so, right. So
a lot of people want to baby you.
Right. Very interesting. Okay, so
In the next segment, to kind of expand on that, I'd like to ask Dr. Roth about how he uses exercise prescriptions in his practice and whether it helps with managing his patients' chronic disease issues.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
So before you answer that, let's take a quick break. Everybody stay right with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Roth.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated five-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Okay, I want to welcome back everybody to our show, Aging Redefined, and we're here with an expert who's walking the walk and talking the talk.
Oh, yeah.
Staying young, staying healthy, and is really interested, involved in exercise to the point, not only in his personal life, but with his practice. So my question, how do you use exercise prescriptions in your practice, and does it do any good?
Yeah. Well, very, very helpful, Larry. Obviously, you'd rather prevent illness than have to deal with the consequences of, you know, not dealing with it. So high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, stress, all of these things lead up to atherosclerosis, a narrowing of the arteries, whether it be the arteries of the heart, the arteries going to the brain. Obviously, a blockage in the arteries to the heart gives you a heart attack. Blockage in arteries to the brain can give you a stroke. So controlling those variables, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, stress, if we can control those, we have a much better chance of decreasing atherosclerosis. Let's start with cholesterol.
Okay.
Very frequently we see people, because I do take care of a modest number of runners and people who are in health and fitness, the HDL levels of runners generally are higher than the overall population.
And HDL is the good cholesterol.
Correct. So there's total cholesterol, good cholesterol, and bad cholesterol. The good cholesterol is the HDL, and the bad cholesterol is the LDL. We do everything we can to bring down the LDL.
Okay.
Most studies show that the higher the LDL, the greater the chance of a heart attack and stroke. People who exercise regularly do have higher HDL levels and generally have lower LDL levels. Wouldn't you rather go out and exercise every day than have to take a medication like a statin? I'd much rather prescribe exercise as opposed to prescribing medicines. I'd rather avoid medicines if we could. Medicines do have significant side effects.
Again, you probably have to exercise, you know, your 4 hours a week to get that
cardiovascular. Correct. Yeah, you have to try and achieve that goal of fitness. But with exercise comes weight reduction.
Okay.
And as you lose weight, clearly the cholesterol comes down. So most patients who I put on low cholesterol diets or exercise and diet will typically bring down their cholesterol by at least 10%.
Okay.
If they follow it. You're combating laziness, right?
Well, you have to be compliant. You have to be motivated and focused. Unless you see that the pain and suffering is worth the goal that you're shooting for, you know, people won't embrace it. So I can talk till I'm blue in the face unless somebody understands that this is a meaningful treatment and embrace it. It's okay. Sometimes a struggle.
What about exercise and diabetes?
Oh, clearly diabetics who exercise regularly, we almost substitute the exercise for whether it be pills or insulin. If I have a patient who's on insulin, not infrequently when they start an exercise program, we'll cut down their insulin significantly. Many patients who are just on oral agents for diabetes, who have a milder form of diabetes, by exercising regularly, we can frequently discontinue the oral diabetic medications. And that's because when you're exercising, you're burning the sugar in your bloodstream, you become much more efficient. And with diabetes, it's an interesting story. It's usually the fat cells which block the uptake of insulin. By exercising regularly and burning fat cells, your own insulin becomes that much more effective. So just by exercising regularly, we can clean up that diabetic regimen, get off of medicines, and decrease the amount of insulin used.
Wow, that's huge.
Wow. Now, you did throw in diet as well. So So, and I know we're talking most about exercise and focusing on that, but what would you say for the diet?
Yeah, clearly trying to eat smart, eat healthy, whether it be cholesterol or diabetes, you want to focus in on a combination of a good diet and a regular exercise program. So it's really a lifestyle approach. If you want to be around for a long period of time, live your life in balance.
So not to put you on the spot, but what's your take on meat?
Oh, you know, there's people who eat meat. There's people who don't eat meat. I don't have any problems allowing my patients to eat meat. I eat meat. I don't have a problem with that. Now, patients who have very high cholesterol, we try and avoid red meats and fried products, fried foods, milk and cheese products. All of those have higher fat. So if you have a problem with your cholesterol and your triglycerides, you probably don't want to eat a real lot of that. But Kendra, as you know, life is a matter of balance. If you're craving meat and you feel miserable that you're not getting meat, you know, you have to have that balance. So.
Okay. Fascinating.
So what do you do with your patients that, you know, you write an exercise prescription and they won't exercise? Do you throw them out of your practice?
No, no. Different strokes for different folks. I'm a coach. I'm a lifestyle coach more so than a preacher. So I can tell the patients what I would do, what I think is the best for them to do. But like many other things, you know, for whatever reason, people have a hard time, particularly in today's day and age, very busy schedules. You know, it's very, very hard to fit the time in. You know, you've already alluded to the fact this takes about an hour, 40 minutes to an hour of your day, 4 days a week. That's a pretty significant commitment. You know, with work and families and all the other commitments that people make. The question is, what type of a priority, where do you put that on the scale of things? Is it that important that you want to embrace it? I say to plenty of patients, I mean, particularly I see new young mothers and fathers, very not infrequently, and maybe you'll do this with your husband, when you're delivering a baby, you have your husband come in for a physical, want to make sure your husband and you are around for a long time to take care of that baby. If you're not motivated to do it for yourself, wait till you have a child and you want to be around for that child and you start thinking of 20 or 30 years from now.
That's
I want to
point.
Be in good health. I want to be healthy enough to play with that child. So I invest more in myself because of the parenting issue.
Okay. So are there any tips that you could give patients or audience out there that might be struggling to fit the exercise in the day?
Yeah. Again, for me, it's been getting up earlier and you know, doing it before everybody else is requiring my time. So I tend to work it around my schedule. There's a lot of workplaces here where people have gyms right there available for the lunch hour. So some people will skip lunch and go and work out in the gym for half an hour, 45 minutes. The end of the day is sometimes a challenge. People are anxious to get home, have dinner with their families. But, you know, wherever you can work it in, just think of just having to get it in that it's a priority.
And the other things is, you know, a lot of people have trouble getting the time to get to the gym. You can do things at work and during everyday life where you're, you know, burning calories and being physical. And like instead of, you know, taking the elevator, walk, you know, walk up the flight of stairs throughout the day. Or when you're watching TV, you know, sitting on a balance ball, you know, work on your core exercises. So, you know, there's a lot of downtime when you can be working out your body and, you know, getting your exercise.
I've seen a lot of people work in exercise into their daily schedule. There are pools at some places where they can go out for a swim during lunch. I just left the hospital. I was at Sharp Memorial, and a group of employees from our medical records go out for a walk every day.
So
single day they take 45 minutes and they all go out for a power walk together. So find other people who think the way that you do. Obviously, it's easier sometimes when you have somebody to work out with, kind of takes your mind off of it. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
And you can also do things that you enjoy, you know, that you get exercise. I'm not going to mention golf, but I guess things like
golf is
racquetball.
You can be very active in golf.
What do you say about golf?
You can be very active in golf.
There you go.
Hey.
All right.
No, you can. You can.
Yeah, well, but you're not going to get your heart rate up to like 85% of your max, though.
Well, it depends if you're, you know, in the final round of Masters.
Yeah.
Maybe, but granted, I haven't been in that position. But if you, you know, doing things like walking instead of taking a cart.
Right. Okay. Certainly, if you're going to walk every day, think about it. Walking every day as opposed to taking the cart every day, you know, you cover a couple of miles. It certainly adds to the amount of exercise you're doing. And again, when you're exercising regularly, you're bringing down your resting heart rate. And the more you exercise, the lower your resting heart rate is. So, you know, the more you get in, the better off you are. Also, it builds up beta endorphin levels, which are the chemical which bathes your brain. And this is kind of a happy chemical.
Right.
So not unusual, people who are struggling with depression and anxiety tend to feel significantly better after they embrace a regular exercise program.
I was going to ask about mental health as well. Are there other things that it helps with, like maybe clarity? I know my biggest problem is if I'm getting up in the morning to go exercise, I feel great. But then there are just some days where I need the sleep, but I'll get up and exercise anyway, and then I'm a mess for the rest of the day because I needed the sleep. So it was kind of like, where's the trade-off there? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the lesser of two evils?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes you have to kind of force yourself to do it, and you definitely feel a lot different after you've done it. This chemical called beta endorphins is a chemical which bathes your spinal column, and it's a chemical which, when you're feeling pain, it kind of decreases that sensation, so you don't feel as much discomfort as somebody who doesn't have those levels. We think that might be what's related to when people stop exercising, why there might be some withdrawal associated with it, because it's almost like a narcotic drug. When you don't get it, you kind of crave it.
Right, which is like why runners are addicted to running,
it's
right?
Runner's high.
Right.
Kind of get a buzz.
And running being, as you had said earlier, one of those sports that you just don't, there's really not another sport out there that encompasses the entire body or does that.
Right.
So is that why running is the most for that drug?
Sure.
Mental drug?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Well, we're kind of running out of time in this segment. We're talking with Dr. Ken Roth, who's an internist in San Diego and interested in exercise. In the next segment, I'd like to ask him about if there's a biological explanation for the benefits of exercise. So put on your thinking cap.
And aging.
Absolutely.
Actually, this is fascinating.
We're going to hold that for the next segment.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, come on back.
Audience out there, stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated five-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Okay, welcome back for our final segment with Dr. Ken Roth, who's a friend of mine and a practicing internist in San Diego, who is into fitness, exercise, all in moderation and in balance. And as I mentioned in the last segment, is there a biological explanation for the benefits of exercise?
Actually, I did read a study not too long ago from the University of Colorado. A cell biologist was studying the cells of, they took middle-aged men between 50 and 60, one group who exercised daily and one group who didn't, and they looked at the cellular level to see if there was any significant difference in the cells. And what they found was that the telomeres, the genetic material as it lined up when the cells split, were longer in those patients who exercised daily versus those that didn't. And it's thought that the telomere, as one gets older, gets shorter.
Right.
And in people who exercise for some reason, their telomeres are longer.
And longer telomeres are obviously better than shorter telomeres.
Right. So if you're just looking at the cell, it would suggest that the cell is a younger cell. It's not as old.
Oh, okay.
Cell death.
Capiche.
Cell death. When you lose your telomeres, your cells die.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What about exercise and memory? Is there any correlation between improved memory and exercise?
Well, certainly when you spend 40 minutes to an hour a day doing some exercise. You have some time to yourself to think out your problems. It's a great stress release. Can clear your mind, can help your mind be more finely tuned so that when you're done with your exercise program, I like to think of it as being teed up.
Okay.
You're ready to attack whatever challenges come your way. You've already served your dues, you've done your time, but you've had this time to be with yourself, to think your problems out. I also promote exercise for people who are struggling with issues, who need some time to think their problems through. So it's an excellent time where your body's moving, you're doing things that are healthy for your body, and yet your mind can be actively thinking about the problems that you have.
What about the exercise and stress management?
Oh, clearly, if you have a lot of stress and anxiety, you'd rather channel that energy into something that's productive and helpful. Going out and drinking alcohol or doing drugs certainly wouldn't meet that need. If you have that anxious energy, I always think of the flight or fight syndrome, that catecholamine cascade. The adrenal gland is a gland that makes catecholamines. It makes the hormones that get us ready for war, for battle. If you channel those hormones into self-promotion, into exercise, you diffuse or you lower the amount of anxiety and stress that you have. So this is definitely, I mean, anybody who's exercised regularly can tell you at the end of their exercise, they feel very calm. They feel very much at peace with themselves. There's just kind of an aura, just a sense of well-being that takes place when you're finished with your exercise program.
Now, while people are exercising, you know, they listen to music. A lot of people do. Have there been any studies out to determine if, you know, the music that like really gets you pumped up is better than kind of the softer music that kind of gets you, you know, quieted down, lets your body maybe focus more like yoga, anything like that?
It kind of depends what kind of exercise you're doing. I've been at some spin classes where the louder the music, the more energy in the music, the easier it is to really pound your body, to really go hard. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're on a nice trail run and you're out in the woods somewhere, you know, having some nice settling music and having more peaceful, relaxed type of thoughts is very, very helpful. So I think music has to go with the setting.
Right. Okay. I took a spin class once. Did I ever tell you, Dr. Emder?
No.
I was in college. Took a spin class, the first one ever. I'm on the bike. I actually fell off the bike in the middle of class and was bleeding. Like they had to stop the class, pull me out, and then, you know, continue. So just since then, I really haven't done it. I watch it at the gym. They are intense.
Really intense.
Well, I did a spin class once in Miami, and I was probably about 40 years old at that time. And they were all these very hot, good-looking women in their
like
20s. In the shorts.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, they're going for an hour. I was done in 10 minutes, you know. So I never went back. My ego was totally deflated as I, you know, fainted outside the door of the
I did a similar spin class. My daughter's at the University of Miami, and we're at the Biltmore Hotel down there. And they have a spin instructor, young Cuban man, and the music was Cuban, and it was so high energy.
Yeah.
Everybody in the class was, you know, finished half dead. I mean, you know, it was so motivating and stimulating. Everybody was trying to kill themselves on the spin bikes.
Right.
But you can tell, just walking into the class, it was going to be an exciting class.
That's something you probably have to work up to, I would think.
Yeah. Well, you can easily get caught in the wave.
Well, I'd like to talk about alternative exercises programs because my wife is into Pilates and jazzercise things. How is that for aerobic exercise?
Great. I think actually people like you and I, as we're getting older, we have to morph ourselves. We have to find other ways to get that buzz, to get that endorphin buzz. Now, you used to run for many years. How do you continue to exercise regularly as your body gets older? So you have to find non-impact types of sports. Pilates is great. I think I mentioned to you earlier about the Elliptigo, which is an elliptical on wheels.
Yeah. We actually had a doctor on not too long ago talking about that. Do you remember Dr. Goldstein?
Yeah, he's totally into that because he hates bicycling because he sees patients that injure their pudendal nerves and their blood supply. So he promotes doing this.
Yeah,
The elliptical is an elliptical on wheels, okay. And it's a little heavier than a bicycle, okay. And you're standing. So right. you're doing that same motion that you do when you're running. Mm-hmm. It's got handlebars and brakes, and it weighs about 30, 35 pounds, so it's heavier than a bicycle.
Okay.
So the calorie burn is just about a 30 to 40% greater calorie burn than if you were to cycle. So you can get in the exercise more intensely. You don't have to go for 2 or 3 hours. You can get about the same calorie burn.
Do you go as fast as a bike or no?
No. Okay. It's heavier, it's bigger. But uphills, it's a lot of work, and it's a great way to get your heart rate up.
Really? Yeah. Is that something that I could do pregnant?
You'd have to be careful and select the right roads to go on. But
right.
Yeah.
And they'll fall off this particular.
I know.
It's great for.
That's Kendra's biggest problem at the
people
moment.
With bad knees and bad hips, you're not impacting. So your feet are sliding on the boards just like it would be on an elliptical. But yet right. You're outdoors, you're breathing fresh air. And the workload that you do is significant.
Right. And you can rent these as well, right?
Dr. Oh, yeah. Goldstein was saying. He gave us like discounts, to rent.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it, I mean, not to continue to plug the company, but they are based out of San Diego, right? The
Correct.
Founders.
Yeah, they're in Solana Beach.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
The other exercise I've seen a lot of my friends have kind of morphed into is the stand-up paddleboard.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of that in the
stand-up paddleboard. You use a lot of lower body and upper body, and you get great cardiovascular workout. And
it's got to be good for core muscles and
balance. Core muscles, balance. I mean, particularly as we get older, losing the balance. If anything you can do to improve balance, strength, and flexibility and get your heart rate up, that's the mantra.
Last week, we had someone on the show who was an expert in meditation and yoga.
Yeah, Dr. Nahavandi.
Can you talk about yoga and... Because that's not really an aerobic thing.
No, but it still meets that need of getting your mind in the right place.
Okay.
Exercise, when you do exercise regularly, you're doing repetitive motion. It's like a mantra. Mm-hmm. So for many, many years, if you've been doing it, you kind of get kind of in a zone when you're doing it. And yoga is very, very similar. So your mind still needs that time alone, your own space.
Now, we've been talking a lot about the aerobic, but is there an element that, we need to be like weightlifting and stretching or types of things like that, incorporating that?
Yeah, certainly it's important to have good strength. I mean, men and women, as they get older, their strength goes down. Most importantly is really flexibility. You really have to do a lot of stretching activities. Your tendons get tighter, and being well stretched as you get older, very, very important. So you don't want to rupture a muscle or pop a tendon. I mean, these things, put you out of commission for a while, and that can really impact
you. As you get older, your recovery is longer than when you were 20.
Absolutely, sure.
Hmm. So is it kind of a use it or lose it thing? Does that really apply? Or is there an age where, say my knee is hurting now, I can still continue to exercise when I'm older, or do I just stop on the knee?
There are good pains and there are bad pains. You have to kind of know what kind of discomfort you're feeling. Mm-hmm. If your knee is truly worn down, it's wear and tear. The more you push it, the more it's going to get worn down. Mm-hmm. So, you have to kind of listen to your body. Typically, inflammation, if a joint swells up, if it gets hot and tender and you lose range of motion, that's a sign of some significant injury inside the joint. So when that's happening, it's a good idea to go to your doctor and get that addressed.
Okay.
So we've been talking about your exercise program and getting up early to exercise, and you obviously have a very busy day. What about rest? How do you fit rest into your schedule, and how much rest do you get?
Well, I find because I do exercise regularly, I can fall asleep sitting down. So I'm always going, that's just how my body operates. So I can fall asleep in a very short period of time. Typically, I sleep maybe 6 to 7 hours a night.
That's good.
Yeah, so
I'm sure it's
got to
be sound sleep.
Very sound. Yeah, I don't have a problem sleeping.
I'm jealous at the moment. I'm hoping that the sleep gets a little bit better, but it might have something to do. As I was mentioning earlier, I'm struggling with my sleep, but I'm also struggling to get to the gym as well. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Absolutely.
If I'm not exercising, my sleep is definitely not as deep or restful.
Well, think of it this way, Kendra. I mean, it resets your sleep-wake cycle. If you burn 700, 800 calories a day, your body's going to get tired out. When it comes the nighttime, you're going to be ready for sleep. You're going to need sleep.
Right.
If you've been drinking coffee all day and you haven't been exercising, your body just isn't quite ready for sleep. So you throw off your sleep-wake cycle when you haven't done enough in one day.
Right. And would you, do you know if exercising in the morning or the evening is better? You know, does it, because I've heard, you know, if you want to burn fat, you do it in the morning. If you want to.
I've always been a morning exercise person. Sometimes at night.
It hypes you up and you may.
It hypes you up and you might not feel like going to sleep. The other thing is when you exercise very vigorously, you take blood flow away from your stomach. So most people lose their appetite right after they exercise.
Yeah, okay. I've noticed that.
So if you're used to eating a big dinner, very hard to exercise, then go home and have dinner. That's kind of sometimes uncomfortable. Sometimes you can get hypoglycemic. Your blood sugar can drop after exercise, and hypoglycemia can induce sleep, can help you to fall asleep.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time.
We are.
but for our audience, especially our audience that's interested in exercise prescriptions and health, how can they get in touch with you, Dr. Roth?
Well, you can call my office at 858-541-0181. That's San Diego Internal Medicine Associates, 858-541-0181.
And where is your office?
I'm in Kearny Mesa on Arrow Drive.
Mm-hmm. Over by Sharp Memorial Hospital.
Right near Sharp Memorial
okay.
Hospital.
And I'm Dr. Larry Emder. I'm on the web at drlarryemder.com.
Absolutely. And audience out there, don't forget, we have a Facebook page as well. So we are Aging Redefined Radio. Jump on there. Give us a like. That always helps. And if you've got any comments, feel free to share them with us. We'd love to hear them and possibly use them as topics for our show if you did have any questions. And also, we have a podcast. So be sure to download that. You can hear this show or any of our past shows at your leisure, driving in the car, sitting in traffic on the 805. Who knows? So thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you being here, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.